My homily today is the second in a series of three, or my early summer message series. Last week was the first part, and today's the second. In 2 weeks, I will give the third part. And if you want to download the worksheet, you can do that at my website. The focus of these 3 weeks is baptism. What happens in baptism? What is it all about? And I'm specifically focusing on the major anointing that we receive in baptism. In baptism, we are anointed to be and act as priests, prophets, and kings, all of us. So through baptism, we all share in that anointing, and we're called to be and act as priests, prophets, and kings. So last week I talked about how as priests we are called to lead people in prayer. And if you think of the priests of the Old Testament or even pagan countries, they mediated between God and man. They offered worship. They offered sacrifice. They tried to keep God pleased and to make sure that the people did what they were supposed to do so that things wouldn't go awry. Now we, because our great high priest is Jesus Christ, we're called to follow him in his priesthood. And again, we're called to mediate between God and man. We're called to pray for others, with others. We're called to bring people to pray and worship the Lord. So just as Jesus was the perfect high priest offering perfect worship, that's what we're called to do. Now, we even are called to offer sacrifices, but not cows and sheep and rams, or in pagan countries, they even sacrifice their firstborn children. The perfect sacrifice that we're called to offer, of course, is the Mass, number one, and Jesus offers himself. But number two, we're called to offer God a contrite heart. That's our sacrifice. So as priests, we're called, just like in the Old Testament, to lead people in prayer and say, hey, we've got to worship the Lord. We've got to praise him because he is our creator. He's our ruler. He's our king. So we follow Jesus in his priesthood, and we all share in the common priesthood of believers. So the challenge is to take that seriously. How often during the week do you gather people for prayer? Or do you say, let's pray about this? Or when someone says they're having a hard time, can I pray with you right now? Let's pray together. That's what priests do. You're priests. That's what we need to be doing. Today I'm going to focus on the second anointing, which is we're anointed to be prophets. Now, I think in our minds we think of prophets prophesying, deciding what's going to be or telling people what's going to happen in the future. And they did that, but it wasn't that they could just foretell the future. They basically did it this way. If you people don't clean up your act, the Lord is going to punish you. So that was their prophetic call. They were predicting what's going to happen, and it did happen if the people did not change their ways. So we take Moses, for example, a great prophet and a great priest. He was always working on behalf of the people. And when God said, you know, I'm sick and tired of the Israelites sinning, I'm going to destroy them, Moses said, wait, please, please. He interceded, he mediated. And then he went to the people and he said, look, you have got to change your ways. If you don't, you will be destroyed. And as we know, because the older generation was unfaithful, they had to wander 40 years in the desert so that they would die out, so that the new generation, which hadn't sinned and turned away, would be able to go into the promised land. So Moses was a prophet. And we're all called to be prophets, like Moses, again, to, along with our priesthood, to intercede for people, on behalf of people, to mediate between God and man, to call people's attention. This is what God wants. And if you're not on that straight and narrow path, bad things are going to happen. Now, that's not an easy job to fulfill, but we're called to fulfill it. We are all prophets. We're all called to teach and to correct. And we can do it in very gentle, loving ways. And we do it in part by getting to know people, walking with them, finding out what they're dealing with, what are the issues that they struggle with, so that we can say, now this is what God says, how are we doing? So we have that beautiful reading from Ezekiel, and Ezekiel gets the Spirit of the Lord, And he goes forth to the Israelites and tells them what God wants them to know. Basically, you're sinning. Now, this was the chosen people. And Ezekiel goes to them and tries to correct them, says, no, you cannot do that. If you do that, you will be punished. And Ezekiel did it. He had the Spirit of the Lord as a prophet and went forth to do that. And we have wonderful stories of prophets all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament as well, because all people who follow the Lord are called to be prophets. So today, think about how you are called to be a prophet. You are a real prophet. This is not some nice theological idea that we get a certificate, you are now a prophet, we put it on the wall. No, it's a real call. It's a real anointing. Just as in the Old Testament, priests and prophets and kings were anointed to be and do what priests, prophets, and kings do, so are we anointed in baptism to be priests, prophets, and kings. So we have a lot of work to do to find different ways that are loving and compassionate to say to other people, this is what the Lord teaches. This is what the Lord wants of us. And if we don't do it, then we're not obeying the Lord. We're not doing the will of God. And we say that not to humble people or abuse them or to be mean to them. We do it because we love our brothers and sisters. We don't want people to stray. We want everybody to be in heaven. That's what God wants. So if we know the truth, and the truth doesn't come from us, it comes from God. We have the Bible, we have the teachings of the church. We have a responsibility to teach that truth and to correct. Is it easy? Well, I guess if you get in the habit of doing it, it may become easy, but believe me, you're going to get pushback. We look at all the prophets in the Old Testament. Look at Jeremiah. The people, the king, did not want him to tell the truth. The king wanted Jeremiah to tell a lie. But then when Jeremiah did tell a lie, the king said, now, wait a minute, you're just pulling my chain. He didn't like it either way. So we're not going to please people by being prophets, by telling the truth. We're not. So let's get that out of our heads. To be a prophet means to be obedient to God so that we can truly be disciples of the Lord and gather people to the Lord. We have, again, example today in the gospel reading. Jesus, the prophet, what does he do? He goes to his hometown, he preaches in the synagogue, and some people say, wow, this is great what he's saying. But then they're starting to think, who's this guy? Isn't he the son of Mary and Joseph? And these are his sisters and his brothers. Who is he to tell us what to do? And that's the pushback prophets get. Because people want their own routine, they want their own culture and their mindset to prevail among everyone. And God says, no, no, it's my mindset, it's my culture, it's my vision that has to prevail. And so we get that pushback. So because of the faithlessness of the people in his hometown, Jesus was not able to work miracles because the faith was not there. And of course, we know what happened to Jesus. Because he was a great priest, a great prophet, a great king. He was killed. He was murdered. Because, again, that's the way of the world. It doesn't have to be that way. But again and again, we simply rehash and relive the story of Adam and Eve, saying, oh, no, I want it my way. I want it my way. You know, I like this person, that person, and therefore whatever they do is okay, so forth and so on. But that's not what God says. God says, if you truly want to be fulfilled, if you truly want to be joyful, if you want the fullness of life, then you have to do what God says. In fact, there's an old saying that goes like this, do God's will, and God will do your will. Do God's will, and God will do your will. Well, if we do God's will, we're going to see God doing our will because we're in sync with God. We're faithful. Now, prophets also may do, besides speaking and correcting, they may do actions that really get people's attention. The one I'm thinking of is Jesus overturning the table of the money changers in the temple. You remember that story? That's what prophets do. They do these actions to get people's attention. So here is Jesus taking the table and pushing it over as a way of saying, this is wrong. This is wrong. So get out of here. And I remember a minister last year at the end of the annual Global Leadership Summit who said, if you really want to be a strong disciple, if you really want to be true to the Lord, you've got to be willing to overturn tables. You've got to be willing to overturn tables. So not just be Mr. and Mrs. Nice and kind of say nice little things and hope people will get it, but rather sometimes we have to grab people's attention and do a prophetic action, just as was done in the Old Testament. Prophets were sometimes told, do this and then do that, and then people are looking and say, what are you doing? And then the prophet would give the reason why. And it was often to get their attention and to see that they were not doing the will of the Lord. So as prophets, we are not unusual. There are many that have gone before us. We have all of the witnesses in the Old and New Testament who are prophets. We are true, real prophets. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. God is constantly speaking to us. We have the Bible. We have the church teachings. We know what to say. The problem, I think, comes in that we live in this culture that says if you say anything that disturbs anybody, they're going to go after you. And so we don't want that, so we keep our mouths shut. But in keeping our mouths shut, we are denying the fact that we are prophets. We are denying people the truth. It's not because we're going to look good or look bad. That's not why we do it. It's because God commissions us to do it. He tells us to do it. And not worry about whatever results as a result of what we say, but to do it. So the more we love God, love the ways of God, know that the ways of God are true and holy, and the more we see people, whether they're family or friends or strangers, doing things that are evil, that are harming themselves and harming other people, the more we don't say anything, the more we are denying the fact that we are true prophets. Just like Jeremiah, just like Moses, just like John the Baptist, just like Jesus, we are true prophets. So as a community, we need to practice that. We need to perhaps get together with somebody and say, how were you a prophet last week? What did you do? How were you a priest last week? What did you do? Did you lead people in prayer? Did you respond to something that was evil and pointed out, no, that is not good. Here, let me walk with you in the path of righteousness. Because we all need that. And when we act as prophets, we also learn from acting as prophets how we need to go deeper into our walk with the Lord, how we need to keep away from sin, how we need to be challenged and corrected by other prophets who are in our community. But if all of us took seriously the anointing we have as priests and prophets and kings, and every week we go out and we do it and then we come back and share it, amazing things would happen. Perhaps the miracles would follow that Jesus wasn't able to perform in his hometown. And yet Jesus says, we too can do miracles. He says, you can do what I have done and greater things. Now, I don't know what's greater than raising someone from the dead, at least physically. But Jesus says, we can do that. We can do that. Because we have that anointing, we have the Spirit of the Lord in our lives. So my challenge to you as you go forth, and if you look at the worksheet, it'll ask some questions about that. How might you work at being a prophet this coming week? Think about where you're going to be, maybe at work. What might be a challenge to you where you can be a light of Christ, illuminate a situation as a prophet so that people can see, no, this is not good, this is good and the way to go. And again, also how to be a priest, how to draw people to Christ in prayer and praise and worship. So I'm trying to emphasize that priest, prophet, and king are not, again, some nice theological concepts that we just are. But no, we're supposed to act out on them. We're supposed to live them, to grow in them, so that we can truly be the good disciples that we were created to be and began as children of God in our baptisms. So if nothing else, take that word prophet. And in the morning, say, I am a prophet. How am I going to live that prophetic call today? How am I going to live the anointing that I received as a child? How am I going to bring the light of Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ, into the world so that other people too will come to be baptized and become priests, prophets, and kings?